Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've always been a Labour guy. My great-granddad, who had his wages docked in the general strike a century ago, was a Labour councillor. So was my grandma. Her proudest achievement, stopping a family being evicted by their private landlords over Christmas. My parents even met at a Labour Party meeting. Romantic. On my 15th birthday, my mum bought me a Labour Party membership as a present. I know. What a loser. My cat's even named after Keir Hardie. He's the first leader of the Labour Party, whose picture proudly hangs on my wall. Well, at least that little guy's done the name proud. Now, I've voted Labour under every single leader in the 21 years of my adult life. Spent years working for Labour MPs, I've campaigned for the party hundreds of times. I've done fundraiser after fundraiser for MPs on every wing of the party, organised countless mass canvasses across the country. Labour Party's been a big part of me, but today, I've quit. Felt pretty emotional. But you see, I can't support a Labour leadership defined by dishonesty, whose word you can't trust on anything, which lacks any vision, belief or principle, which is driven only for power for its own sake, and which will over and over again defend the interests of the rich over those whose lives are just getting harder and harder. And I can't support a party with a total lack of answers to the massive crises and injustice that define this country, which I fear when their government comes crashing down under the weight of their own dishonesty and failures will just pave the way for the far right. And I just can't support a party run by people who I think will dangerously abuse the huge power that they're going to get. And there is no way on earth I can support a leadership which refuses to condemn and which even justifies war crimes. The mass slaughter of approaching 40,000 Palestinians, many of them kids, toddlers, babies. You know what? What I really want is to end the war on hope. So, at the next election, what I think we should do is vote for the Green Party or an independent candidate who stands for things like asking the well-off to pay more tax so we can invest in and rebuild our bad country, our services and utilities being run by the public rather than these rip-off profiteers. But candidates who want radical action on everything from the housing crisis to poverty to the climate emergency. And do you know what? Candidates who aren't complicit in war crimes. Now, that might mean, by the way, not just Green or independent candidates, but some of the surviving decent Labour candidates who believe in those things. That's if they're not booted out by then. Some of them already have been, and more will be. Because if that's the sorts of things you believe in, Labour wants you crushed. So, I'm supporting a crowdfunder to raise money for these candidates for two reasons. Firstly, so they can win. And secondly, to force Labour to have to chase the votes of people who don't just want reheated Tory policies, instead of just presuming they're in the bag and can be safely ignored. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, look, I'm not happy with this lot either. But we've got to get the Tories out. And this will just let them back in. So let's be very clear. There is more chance of one of my cats becoming Prime Minister than the Tories winning the next election. To be fair, the little lads would do a better job. That's not because of anything Labour's done. The Tories have destroyed themselves, partying until they were vomiting and breaking laws they imposed during the pandemic, when homeless people were being charged and children fined and you couldn't hold the hands of your dying loved ones. Overseeing the worst squeeze in living standards since the Battle of Waterloo. That is not an exaggeration, by the way. A never-ending motorway pile-up of scandal and corruption. Rampant political turmoil. Just the three prime ministers in one parliamentary term. Under Liz Truss, turning us all into guinea pigs for an unhinged economic experiment that involved giving rich people lots of dosh, which crashed the economy and sent mortgages and rents soaring, trashing the NHS and other public services, leaving the country quite literally falling apart. Now, do you know what? The majority the polling currently shows Labour's going to get is ridiculously big. A majority of over 400 seats. That means over 500 seats for Labour. And the Tories on, wait for it, 20 seats less than the SNP. That's how badly the Tories have wrecked themselves. And bear in mind, that's with an election months away, maybe even weeks away. Now, I'm pretty sure the Tories will claw back some of that. It won't be as catastrophic as that polling suggests. Well, maybe it will. But maybe Labour will end up with a majority of just 200 seats instead. But there's no precedent for any government in history being so far behind at this stage and even coming close to sneaking back in. And as you probably noticed, the people running the Tories don't have a clue what to do, aside from probably rocking in the fetal position in the corner somewhere. Now, there's zero chance of them sneaking back in, so you can, and I think you should, vote how you want. Now, the Labour leadership and some of their client journalists will try and spook you into thinking otherwise. Not because they actually fear losing, they don't, but because they crave the biggest majority possible so they can get away with doing anything they want. And you can't trust them with that kind of power. I didn't vote for Keir Starmer to be leader of the Labour Party, but I did wish him well when he was elected. And in his leadership election, he made clear that it wasn't the policies we need to fix our country to blame for Labour's defeat. And he was right, even if he didn't mean it. He also promised unity.
Factionalism has to go.
No leadership campaign in Britain's democratic history has been that dishonest or even close. Now, Starmer promised at the time, variously, to ask the booming well-off and big business to pay more tax so we could invest in our crumbling public services.
Jeremy Corbyn made our party the party of anti-austerity, and he was right to do so.
He promised public ownership of our rip-off utilities, so they're not just cash cows for shameless profiteers and fat cat shareholders. He said students wouldn't be punished anymore with debt for daring to dream of a university education we all benefit from. He not only promised to reverse NHS privatisation, he even justified the pledge to Labour members with a anecdote about the deathbed wish of his own mother.
She took my hand and she said, "You won't let your dad go private, will you?"
All of those pledges reversed. Now, park what you think about any of these policies and positions. What matters is they were promises. Or as he actually called them himself, with his own signature, pledges. What's the definition of a pledge? A solemn promise or undertaking. Now, you sometimes hear a defence from Starmer and his team. The circumstances change. Now, aside from the fact he was surrounded by key allies who always passionately oppose these policies, his allies told MPs during the leadership election that these promises were lies and that he'd abandoned them. Don't believe me? Listen to Labour MP Margaret Hodge interviewed during that leadership election.
He's triangulating like mad. Somebody said to me, "I don't mind what he does as long as he wins, beats Rebecca Long Bailey." And I thought, you know, Tony never did that. So is Keir lying to get the job? And will he then change? That's what this person was saying to me.
Now, in the leadership election, he promised nationalisation would be in the manifesto.
Is it a pledge that these industries will be in your manifesto for nationalisation?
Yes, it is.
In
They're
your first
all
term?
Pledges, Andrew. So the answer to these questions is yes.
He even stuck his hand up on national TV in support of nationalisation. Now, as soon as Labour members had voted, he then claimed he'd never supported nationalisation.
I didn't make a commitment to nationalisation. I never made a commitment to nationalisation. I made a commitment to common ownership. They were worlds apart.
You see, if that was Boris Johnson doing the same thing over a policy, no one would hesitate in saying that shows, rightly, what a fundamentally dishonest politician he is. And again, like Boris Johnson, some of it is just dishonesty over petty things, which in both cases reveal their character. Like repeatedly saying Jeremy Corbyn is his friend.
He's a colleague, he's a friend.
Then later saying he was never his friend.
Was he a friend?
No.
The fundamental point is you cannot trust a single thing Keir Starmer says. There's no evidence he's got any clear beliefs or principles at all. He just wants the big job for its own sake. And keep applying that Boris Johnson test. When Boris Johnson lies, did you say, well, that shows he's a ruthless politician, he's just doing what it takes to win? Or did you say he was unfit for high office? Now, if Keir Starmer had scrapped all those policies and offered a different, clear, coherent, inspiring vision for the country, maybe you could forgive all that. Well, bad luck. The one thing you can always say about Labour is you might not think they're going far enough, but at least they'll make life better for those who are struggling. Now, his politics weren't mine, but I think Gordon Brown genuinely cared about child poverty. It's not just that this lot don't have anti-poverty measures, they actively support Tory policies which drive kids into poverty. Keir Starmer went on TV to say he backed the Tories' two-child benefit cap, even though it drives 1.5 million kids into poverty or hardship, more than any other single policy.
If you have more than two children at the moment, you don't get benefits. Would that change under a Labour government?
We're not changing that policy.
You're not changing the two-child policy of benefits, OK?
Do you know what's worse? Why did he say it? He said it to sound tough, but tough on who? Tough on kids. Sorry, tough on kids in poverty. That's who Labour thinks it should take the fight to these days. Now, if Labour won't even oppose Tory policies which drive children into poverty, then I have to ask you, what's the point? Now, when asked what their plan for growth was, Rachel Reeves, the Shadow Chancellor, said it was getting people off benefits. Now, we heard that before. It means hammering benefit claimants. That's what George Osborne did. Do you remember that, producing Growth, when he did that? So why do you think it will be any different just because it's the same policy, but this time with a Labour rosette stuck to it? Hammering the struggling, but championing the rich. Now, the wealth of the UK's billionaires has gone up by over 1,000% in the last 3 decades. And with the country in the state it's in, I think we can all agree they can afford to pay a little bit more. But not only is Labour refusing to tax the rich, Rachel Reeves even told the Tory Telegraph newspaper that she may cut taxes on them, handing them even more dosh as a country falls apart. In other words, the Liz Truss approach. They've even boasted they won't restore the cap on bankers' bonuses, rewarding the very people who crashed the economy and incentivising the risky behaviour that made financial disaster possible. So, how's Labour going to be different? They say, well, we'll have more growth. That's a bit like someone pitching to take over a football team with a promised strategy of, we'll score more goals. Yeah, fine, how? Well, they had one big flagship policy. It was the $28 billion a year Green Investment Fund. It wasn't just crucial for growth, it was crucial to tackle the existential threat of the climate emergency. But then they trashed it, showing not just what they think about the planet, but about any sort of alternative to Tory dogma. This is all this lot do. Come up with pledges, then abandon them. And that whole saga in particular tells you what they'll be like in government. Why did they abandon it? Not because they came under any real pressure, but because they feared they might come under pressure. What does that tell you? It tells you they're weak. It tells you they lack convictions, and it tells you that when they're in government, every time they fear the right-wing media, they're going to buckle. It gets worse. So much worse. They've got the same fiscal rules as the Conservatives, and they won't hike taxes on the rich. What does that mean? It means austerity. Never-ending austerity. It means our already disintegrating public services will crumble even more, even as demand grows, not least because of an ageing population. It means a future of decline. Now, after the Tories stole Labour's one big policy on tax that was any different from theirs, abolishing non-dom status, Labour now say they'll pay for new NHS plans by finding future savings for public spending. Translated, that means cuts elsewhere, or robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're even using the exact same arguments and language as George Osborne and other Tories when they justified cuts, like maxing out the nation's credit card and there being no money left.
There's not a magic money tree.
They've spent all the money. They've maxed out the country's credit card.
National credit card maxed out.
It was economically illiterate lies when the Tories said it, and it's still economically illiterate lies when Labour say it, who just refused to ask the booming rich to pay more tax. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, all right, buddy, I get the gist, but maybe, just maybe, they'll be better in power. But that is the point. Their own fiscal rules mean they can't be. They boxed themselves into a corner. Maybe you'll go, well, they've been so dishonest before. I think we've established that. Why can't they be dishonest again? Because they're only ever dishonest to help them move in one direction. And that's moving to the same place as the Tories. Also, history tells us Labour in government only ever get more right-wing. So the truth is, however bad they are now, or however bad you think they are, they're only going to get worse when they're in charge. If we're going to save the NHS, Labour's proudest ever achievement, we need a drastic increase in funding. But instead, Labour's promising even more privatisation than the Tories have already done. What does that mean? It means making fat cat private health firms richer at the expense of patients. The Shadow Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, even went to the hard right Policy Exchange think tank, which is funded by the likes of oil company ExxonMobil and shadow corporations and wealthy right-wingers, and boasted of the sorts of policies he was going to introduce to the NHS, which those sorts of people like, and how those on the left would be affronted. He said that Labour will hold the door open for the private sector in the NHS and has denounced those he says have nostalgia for the NHS. What about racism? Starmer promised an all-out war on anti-Semitism, but when his politicians loyal to him, it's a different story. When the Starmer-supporting MP Barry Shearman said there was a run on silver shekels after two high-profile Jewish businessmen missed out on peerages, an apology was enough, no further questions. When the shadow cabinet minister Steve Reid described a Jewish conservative donor as a puppet master, again, no further action, an apology was enough. When Labour's candidate in Rochdale was found to have suggested Israel was behind the 7th of October attacks and spoke conspiratorially about people in the media from certain Jewish quarters, they tried to keep supporting him as the Labour candidate. But they booted out the left-wing MP Andy McDonald. Why? because he supported peaceful coexistence between Israelis and Palestinians. They also took action against the left-wing MP Kate Osamor, taking away the Labour whip. She's one of the only black women in the Parliamentary Labour Party. What was her crime? Describing Gaza as a genocide the day the highest court on earth put Israel on trial for alleged genocide. Nothing they said was anywhere near as offensive as anything these Starmer-supporting MPs came up with. But it's not about anti-Semitism for them. They stood by their mates for saying genuinely outrageous things while looking for excuses to kick out opponents. That is not about anti-racism. Meanwhile, they repeatedly briefed that Muslim voters are disillusioned with Labour because they are anti-Semitic and homophobic.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When predominantly Muslim councillors quit over Gaza, one Labour source briefed the party was shaking off the fleas. When a poll of Muslim Labour members, even before Gaza, found 46% thought Starmer handled Islamophobia very badly, with 18% saying quite badly, just 4% said he was handling it very well. Now we can see what Labour has become based on who's welcome and who isn't. Jeremy Corbyn and those MPs who stand for things like public ownership and higher taxes on the rich and taking on war crimes, they're out. But when the Tory MP Christian Wakeford crossed the floor, Rachel Reeves said,
it's not his values that have changed, it's the Conservative Party that has changed.
Bear in mind, that guy was first elected under Boris Johnson. When the rich businessman Richard Walker recently quit the Tories and joined Labour, he said,
what's interesting is that, you know, my values and principles haven't changed. And whilst the Conservatives have moved away from me, Labour have steadily moved towards the centrist, pragmatic views that I've long held.
Well, bear in mind, this guy tried to stand as a Conservative candidate under Liz Truss. Now, look, the truth is they want a big majority so they can get away with anything. As John Cuddas, a former advisor to Tony Blair, said last year, this is unprecedented in Labour history. What did he mean? He meant that what he described as the most right-wing liberal faction in the party is now in total control and engaged in a witch hunt, waging war not just on so-called Corbynites, but on people in the Labour Party who are kind of middle of the road. Consider the fact that this lot ruthlessly purged people in the Labour Party who stuck by their principles. Consider the fact that they recently boasted to journalists that they'd blackmailed the Speaker of the House of Commons to overturn parliamentary precedent to trash the SNP's motion accusing Israel of collective punishment. Consider the fact they've denounced the Tories for not cracking down on civil liberties hard enough. I am genuinely, hand on heart, scared with what they're going to do with the absolute power a huge majority is going to give them. And then there's Gaza. The greatest crime of our age. A genocide. The mass slaughter already of tens of thousands of innocent people, including over 14,000 children. Many more maimed, nearly the entire population displaced. The civilian infrastructure so destroyed, Gaza is now a different colour and texture when looked at from space. The healthcare system there violently dismantled. Famine stalking the land, children starving to death, never-ending war crimes, parents shot in front of their children, entire bloodlines wiped from the face of the earth, paramedics blown up by the Israeli military as they try and save a little six-year-old girl who is slaughtered as well alongside her relatives. Now, from the start, Israeli leaders were always clear this is what they were going to do. But not only did Starmer back the Tories all the way as they gave a blank cheque to Israel, who our government arms and gives diplomatic support to, he backed war crimes. Specifically, he backed the right of Israel to cut off water and energy to civilians.
Cutting off power, cutting off water.
Well, I think that Israel does have that right.
He then let multiple shadow cabinet ministers go on TV and either back or refuse to condemn war crimes, including my own MP, Emily Thornberry.
Do you think cutting off food, water and electricity is within international law?
I think that Israel has an absolute right to defend itself against terrorism.
That's not the question I asked.
It is an answer to the question that you've asked, and I think it's an appropriate one at this time.
Nearly 2 weeks later, having refused to withdraw those comments or apologise, he said, "It has never been my view that Israel had the right to cut off water, food, fuel or medicines. International law must be followed." Even though we heard what he said.
Well, I think that Israel does have that right. I was not saying that Israel had the right to cut off water, food, fuel or medicines.
Again, another example of his pathological dishonesty. And he never had an excuse to begin with. He's a human rights lawyer. He knows what the Geneva Conventions say. Well, we've all got our red lines in politics. Mine is actively supporting war crimes. I've got to be honest with you, and I'm going to say it. I think it's sick. I think it's depraved. And that alone makes that man unfit for high office. When most of us have a moral compass, for most of the people running the Labour Party, there's just a black hole. And if you back war crimes once, you'll do it again. I think these people would go to war because they think it'd make them look tough in a focus group. Is that really who you want to give limitless power to? Really? And even now, they're only retreating on Gaza because of pressure, because they fear some voters will abandon them. That shows it works, but it's still empty rhetoric. They still want to give Israel the weapons to kill people and refuse to impose sanctions. That's the only language Israel understands. So I guess my question is, what do you want? What do you want really? Do you support policies which drive children into poverty? Do you want benefit claimants to get even more of a kicking? Do you want the rich to keep booming while the country falls apart at the seams? Do you want our utilities to be cash cows for profiteers? Do you want our public services to keep on disintegrating with a never-ending future of austerity? Do you want serial dishonesty? Do you want more privatisation in the NHS? Do you want students to be clobbered with debt because they dream of a university education all of society benefits from? Do you want war crimes to be cheered on and facilitated? Well, both Labour and the Conservatives offer all of that. Well, we deserve better. Instead, do you think the well-off should pay more? So we can properly invest in all the things a rich country like this can not only afford, but make world class, like our NHS, like our care services, our schools, our transport, our infrastructure. Do you think water and energy and rail and our NHS belong in the hands of the public, not rip-off profiteers? Do you think education is a social good and should be treated as such? Do you think we need an ambitious public housing programme and tough measures to defend the private renters being screwed over by landlords? Do you think workers deserve a real living wage, proper rights and strong trade unions to defend them? Do you think we need a bold green investment programme to take on the climate emergency and create well-paid jobs? Do you think we should take on racism and not scapegoat migrants and refugees for all the country's ills? Do you think we should take a stand around the world for peace and human rights? Well, the people who run the Labour Party, and I'm sorry to have to say this, have nothing but contempt for you and what you believe, if that is you. To them, you're just voting fodder. There's no pressure on them to even listen to what you think. That's why there's a race to the bottom on policies and politics in this country. And believe you me, we've got a long, long way still to sink. Now, Starmer supporters will go, this is just disgruntled supporters of Jeremy Corbyn. Well, firstly, I've always been my own man, and this is about the future. And that line of attack, with all due respect, doesn't work. Starmer served in Corbyn's shadow cabinet and declared,
"I'm 100% behind Jeremy Corbyn."
And defended him repeatedly in the leadership election when he was looking for votes.
The attacks on Jeremy Corbyn in that election we've just had were terrible.
He either meant it or you're calling him a liar and a con man. Which is it? Answer carefully. But the one thing he was right about when he stood for leader, even if he was pretending to believe it, is these policies were not the problems that led to Labour's defeat. Now, some will go, "You're just too radical. You want too much. Why can't you just settle?" Is it really too radical? Too much to expect a country as rich as ours not to leave a single citizen in poverty, to have world-class public services, to solve crises like housing, to show global leadership on the climate emergency and create the jobs of the future, and to not want to cheer on the mass slaughter of children and facilitate it? The Tories are toast. They're finished. They're not coming back. They've destroyed themselves. It is over for them. So why would you want the same policies that led this country to catastrophe just with different faces at the top? We might disagree on this or that. Some might think Labour might change again in the future. Even if that's true, there's no chance of that happening without pressure from the outside. So I'm supporting a crowdfunder that bypasses all of those arguments. It will just back candidates on a pragmatic basis. Do they support the right policies? That's what matters. It bypasses the whole question about whether you vote Green or for someone else or join a political party or have a new political party. It's just about uniting everyone now who stands for the same thing. Now, we've got huge support out there for all the things I've talked about. It is a crisis of democracy that our political parties have conspired to shut you out if you believe in those things. And unless we can get our act together, then guess who will? When the whole Starmer government inevitably ends in tears. I'll tell you who. It's the far right. They're waiting in the wings. In Germany, when a government came to power with exactly the same sort of politics as Keir Starmer, the electorate have turned on them. But who's surging? The far right. In the US, Joe Biden is monstrously unpopular now and may well just end up handing the presidency to Donald Trump all over again. I gotta be honest, I think that's our future too, unless we get our act together. So I think we should vote Green or Independent, unless you've got a Labour MP who stands for those things, like John McDonnell or Nadia Whittam or Zara Saltana. So please support the crowdfunder. The link is in the description so we can give candidates the resources they need to fight for a different country. The Tories are toast. We deserve better. Let's end the war on hope. Send Labour a message. Let's do this.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.